Luke chapter 4, look at verse 18. Jesus is speaking. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And he reads this passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then a couple of verses later, all the eyes are fastened on him. He sits down and he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So the acceptable year of the Lord began at that moment. Now, you would have thought that synagogue would have got excited about that. They've been waiting on him. And you guys know the story, right? That's not what happened. They didn't say, amen, we're going to vote you in as pastor, Pastor Jesus. No, they escorted him to the cliff. They were going to toss him off. We're talking about healing, receiving and ministering healing. And we qualified that receiving part last week because really, if you're born again, you have already received healing power in your spirit. It's already there. It's not something you have to acquire or go get. So when we say receiving, a lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to receive it. And you'll hear people say, well, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. What am I not doing? We're going to deal with some of those things today. But the fact is, it's just that revelation alone will get you healed. To just realize that healing is already in me. He's already given it to me. All the promises of God are yes. In him, yes, and in him, amen. It's not something I'm waiting for him to cut the check for. And yet you hear a lot of people putting the burden on God to do the healing. I know God is going to heal me. That is the same as saying God has not healed me yet. You just said it a little differently. When the light comes on, you're going to say, God has already healed me. When that epiphany happens in your spirit, you will be healed. It's not a possibility that you won't. And so when we talk about receiving, we're really talking about releasing healing, releasing it, learning how to release it. Release it for yourself, release it for others. That's really what we're talking about. Amen? Now I want you to go over to Isaiah 53. And I really had a challenge to cut this message back. There's a couple things we want to get to. We're going to hear a testimony, and then we're going to actually minister healing to people that need it today. Amen. And so we're going to see healing happen in this place. Isaiah 53, look at verse 4. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. And the revelation I want you to get out of this, I could give you three examples. 1 Peter 2:24 is another example. And in the book of Matthew is another example where the same sacrifice that paid the penalty for your sin also paid for the provision of your healing. It's the same sacrifice. They should never be separated. It's part of salvation. Now, why do some people get healed and some do not? What is the determining factor? Now, a lot of pastors won't go near that. Are you with me? But we need to talk about it because we've seen hit or miss results. And we need to know why. You guys want to know why? And there is a determining factor. You don't need to turn there, but tell you what, you are going to go all the way over to Mark chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let me just give you a couple of scriptures. I'll just quote them to you. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, you remember that story, right? They were trying to get this guy, he's on a mat, and four of his buddies are carrying him, and they can't get to him because the place is so full. So they get up on the roof, and they start peeling the roof back. Now, imagine that. Now that's faith. Jesus, it says Jesus saw their faith. How did he know they had faith? Look at what they're doing. They're not going to let anything stop them, especially a roof. They're just going to peel it back. And you know the four guys had faith if they were taking Johnny up on the roof, right? And you know Johnny's got faith to let them four dudes take him up there, right? What happened? He got healed. See? He got healed. Now the question is, what is the determining factor? In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, where Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. This is the woman with the issue of blood, and we've spent a lot of time talking about her. Daughter, your faith. Notice whose faith it was. Your faith. Your faith. When Jesus saw their faith, what's the determining factor? The answer to the question is faith is the determining factor. That's what Jesus emphasized. Out of the 19 accounts of healing in the four Gospels, 10 of them, the individual's faith was emphasized. That's amazing. Now, the Lord gave me this phrase. I'd never heard it before, but I'm going to teach it now. It's faith jurisdiction. So faith is the determining factor, but faith has a jurisdiction. Did you know that? I cannot impose my faith on somebody else. That's called witchcraft. I can add my faith to theirs. I can agree with them. Matthew 18, 19. If two of you on earth agree concerning anything they ask, it shall be done for them. God's going to recognize that. He's going to go along with that. See? But I can't impose my will. There's a lot of people wanting somebody to believe for them, and that doesn't work. You have to believe. You do have jurisdiction over yourself. And I love this scripture, one of my favorite in the Bible. It's Matthew 9, 29. And Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to whose faith? Your faith. According to your faith. What if God's will is different than what you're believing for? You are going to get what you're believing for. Even if God's will is different than yours. It's good or bad. The law of faith works. Most people are operating the law of faith in the negative. They have a negative expectation. Elvis Presley knew that he was going to die about the same age as his mother when she died. He had that expectation. That was his faith. Was that the will of God? No, it was not. Right? But that was his expectation. That was the manifestation of his faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, I'm not trying to put pressure on you because, like I said, this thing's a lot easier than we've made it. Let me say it a little differently. It's a lot simpler than what we've made it. Amen? So you have jurisdiction over yourself. Nobody can come along and impose their faith over you. Another jurisdiction that we have is we can stand in the gap for someone who cannot pray. We can stand in the gap for somebody who is unable to pray. That was what he said over in Mark. Remember the book of Mark where he said, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, comatose. That's the word comatose. And they shall recover. Well, the person that's comatose can't be praying, right? They're in a coma. How are they going to pray? So you can stand in the gap. The only exception to that is if they've made some sort of covenant with sickness. They've agreed with that sickness in some way. They believe that's their lot. Well, it wouldn't matter how much faith you had. Now, I can, like I said, add my faith and agree with you. Stephen, let's say you were praying about a situation. I can add my faith to that. And that's an exponential multiplication of power when the two of us agree. Now, it's just like I can push your car, though. Let's say you're struggling and you got unbelief going on in your head. You remember the dad that had the son with the mute spirit? And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I mean, that's a lot of us. We got belief in our heart. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, but there's some huge questions going on up here. And so I can help push your car if you'll keep your foot off the brake. Are you with me? So my faith can help and assist and push, but if you put the brakes on with your faith, believe something contrary to what I'm trying to do, we're at an impasse. I can't do anything. My faith can't do a thing for you. Amen. Do you see how that works? Now, another jurisdiction that we have is a parent believing for a child. A parent, like if a child gets sick, you can believe for that child. Okay? Now, there is an age of accountability. I don't know the exact age. I can see some indications from the Bible when the children of Israel were stuck in the desert. He said everybody from age 19 down won't be held accountable. But I don't tell the youth group that. In the Jewish culture, their bar mitzvah was at age 13. So I'm not sure which it is. I don't know. But I know that eventually they move to a place where their life and their choices are their responsibility. But until they reach a certain age, it's under my jurisdiction if they're my child. Isn't that powerful? And so you can believe, you can command their body to be healed just like it's yours, just like it's your body. And we'll look at an example of that. You're there in Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Now we're going to skip over the woman with the issue of blood. We're picking it back up when Jesus is speaking to her and he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you sozo, whole, spirit, soul, and body," right? Pick it up in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." So Jesus needed Jairus to keep believing. Fear presents you with the opportunity to disengage your faith. Did you see that? And because he said, "Do not fear," that lets you know that fear is our choice. It's my decision whether I'm going to fear or not. Otherwise, why say, "Do not do this"? See? Don't be in fear. Only believe. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailing loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." Now that's a statement of faith. This is a faith statement. You want to see Jesus make a faith confession? There it is. He's calling things that are not as though they were. The little girl was dead, lifeless, right? So he's not lying, but he's calling her alive. He's already releasing his faith. Look at this. This is powerful. And then verse 40, and they ridiculed him. Oh, guess what? Your faith will get you ridiculed. It's just going to happen. I don't go out of my way to get ridiculed. I know Christians that do. They'll do weird things just to get some reaction out of somebody. I don't do that. I don't welcome ridicule. I don't welcome offense and things like that. Your faith, it just comes with the deal, right? We receive 100-fold now in this life with persecution. That's in your Bible. That's what Jesus said. You get 100-fold now. 100-fold. That's awesome. With persecution. I wish he'd left that off of there, but it's there. It just comes with the deal. If you're going to walk in the reality and the truth that God has for you, you're going to have people come against that. And there are people that will fight you to stay sick and broke. Some people wear it as a badge. They get attention. A lot of people, that's how they get attention. They don't want to get out of the wheelchair. Why? Everybody goes out of their way to help me. I get pampered. They don't want to be right. Anyway, that's a whole other rabbit trail. I'll just leave that alone. You guys understand it. But the point is, they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all, say all, outside, I love this. He took the father and the mother. Notice the first two people he grabbed. The father and the mother of the child and those who were with him. That's Peter, James, and John. right? He emptied that room where the little girl was, right? And entered where the child was lying. What did Jesus do? He got doubt and unbelief and opposition out of there. He managed the atmosphere. Man, I just imagine Jairus when he hears his little girl's dead. I just imagine what that must have done. This wave of emotion comes at you. You have an option right then and there. Do I fear? It's like a bad report from a doctor. What are you going to do? That's the moment you choose, fear or not. And what did he do? Jesus, I can just see him. It's almost like he grabbed him by the hands and locked eyes with him. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Man, that's awesome. Jesus made it simple. Only believe. Only believe. Don't quit believing. Don't stop believing. Keep your faith engaged. And Jesus must have needed his faith, or he would have just gone and done the miracle regardless of what happened. See, but he told him, stay engaged. Verse 41, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. So at least up to 12 years old, you have faith jurisdiction over your children. Did you see that? And they were overcome with great amazement. Overcome with great amazement. Praise God. We're going to hear a testimony. Karen is going to come up and give a testimony.
If you don't know who I am, my name is Karen Chaddock. I've been here for probably 4 years. I came here because Sue and Keith had come here, and I was looking for a church, and not too sure where I was going. And this is really hard. This is really, like, nerve-wracking. Okay. Because you all look at me like, she can do anything. No, this is scary. Anyways, part of who I am is, if you all don't know, I'm a doer. I'm an encourager. I love feeding people. As you can see, I run around and just wherever I can fit. And when I got here, the first thing I did was they were doing Christmas. And I was at my house, and Lord just said to me, how are you going to get to know them if you don't go? And I really, when I came here, I wanted to sit in the back. I can hide. You know, you're not going to be able to see me. I just didn't want to do anything because where I came from, one of the hurt people. And I came over, and I met Julie Johnson. And Pastor Julie, I worked with her. And, you know, it was kind of cool. And I got to be me a little bit. And then there was a time in here that Pastor Wade made a comment about Pastor Josh. And Pastor Josh had called and said, I need prayer. I don't know what to do. Pastor Wade made the statement, you just don't know how much God loves you in that area. And basically, that's the short of what I do here. I want to share a testimony that something recently happened. 2006, I got a prophetic word that God was healing me. And the prophet that gave it to me, very well known, said, you don't look sick. I'm like, no. And I wasn't. So I kind of put that away. 2 months later, I got a diagnosis of a nosos disease, which is terminal. And 2 months after that word, God's healing you. I wasn't feeling well. Went to my primary. He sent me off for some tests. You have a terminal disease. The disease, and I'm just going to give you a rundown of what they are because I'm not going to exalt this. It was called scleroderma. It's a disease that basically takes over your body. It hardens it. It kills you from the inside out. I was dealing with it for a long time. With that came another nosos disease, which was Raynaud's. There's no cure for these. And the hard thing with scleroderma, my mother died of it. So when I got this diagnosis, I got this mind picture. Horrible. So me and Jesus were tight. I got this prophetic word. 2 months after the diagnosis, I got another prophetic word. You will live and not die for the glory of God. That was in 2006. It is now 2016. Okay, I'm just saying, don't give up. Okay? Julie Johnson gave me these DVDs of Barry Bennett's. And I've been in the Word since 79. I got saved in 79. I have been in the Word. I've not, you know, thank you, Jesus, didn't turn around and walk away. And once I got these diagnoses, I've been believing that God was going to heal me, come down and heal me. Never heard that it was inside of you. Never. Till I got here. And that was a big miracle. After I was here, about 3 years ago, I got another diagnosis. It was called lupus. And I'm like, keep it. No thanks. And so anyways, we're going through this process and everything that was going on. And I was in a DE, well, it's not DE, it's a Bible study. About a month ago. Now, let me back up. People who help you. Sometimes you look at somebody and think, oh, I'm going to give you out. No. Christina Johnson and I have become friends. And basically, the Lord had just put her in my face and said, I need you to minister to her because her husband had passed and, you know, she needed a buddy and he chose me. Thank you. So everybody thinks, you know, I was helping her. This woman has helped me immensely. She has pushed me past my limit of reading books, of renewing my mind, which, you know, you're not going to get any place if you won't renew your mind. Like the pastor said, it's your choice. It's your choice to stay where you are, or it's your choice to say, I'm getting up. And Christina had decided we were going to go out to Colorado, to Andrew Womack's, and we tried for July, and I couldn't make it work. She goes, we're going. I'm like, it wouldn't work. That was like January. Sometime in May, I made a decision. I'm going to sell my house. I talked to the Lord for a month. I said, I don't want to be here. Put my house, and it went up one day. Sold full price, cash deal. That's going to be God. So, okay. So I came to the Bible study that night. Bain made a comment. I really can't even tell you what it was, but I sat over here, and I got it. He said, I was talking about something that's already inside of you. And I don't know what it was, but you sat over here, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's in me. Because the Lord had said to me a few months prior to this, Karen, I was having coffee, and he said, do you believe I'm healing you? And I said, no. Can't lie. I'd been quite sick this past year, and I said, no. I felt the heart of God. I felt like I had hurt him, and I knew it because he was. So then I started really pushing and pushing, and when Bain said that, and pushing being, I really started, Lord, help me, help my unbelief, because I know you love me. I just didn't know in that area. And it's been a real encouragement. I'm sorry you went through whatever, but boy, it's encouraged me. So I've been just going after the love of God in this area, because basically, healing is love. And if I don't know that he loves me, how am I going to believe he's going to heal me? Right? The lady, right? Because if you know he loves you, what he wants for you is health. What he wants for you is the best. And in my head, I knew it. Didn't have it here. Well, we went out, and I'm missing lots of stuff, but we went out to Andrew's. If it hadn't been for Christine, I would probably have been on the sidewalk for the whole week because it was hard. And it was a push through because I couldn't breathe. It was tough. Then we understood why, but it was. And, you know, I'm a person, I like to worship. I like to stand up. And we got there and there was like 2,400 people. And I'm like, I don't do this. And I went and I tried to stand up and worship and I couldn't. I was condemning myself, like, stand up. And Lord just said to me, sit down and enjoy it. Just sit and enjoy the worship. Because I do like to worship. And they played that song. I believe in you. I don't know if I can do this. I believe in you. And I sat there, and the Lord just said, enjoy this. Enjoy. And the more they were singing, I didn't hear all the words. I believe in you. I believe in you. And the more I kept hearing that, I recognized, I do believe in him. I do believe he wanted to heal me. And at that moment, in that song, sitting down when everybody else is standing, Christina touched me and shared some of her joy with me, and I received it. That was August 8th. I have a box back there. Could you give me that box that's on my chair? So August 8th, now with them, and like I said, I don't want to exalt this, but with this disease, basically you have pain 24/7 from 2006 to 2016. Some days were harder than others. Really, the only one who I really, really share a lot of this was with my friend Bob, because Bob came up one day and greeted me with just a little touch, put me almost, wanted to go to the hospital. I was in that much pain from it. So your hug sometimes made me cry because of the pain. It was just what this disease did to you. So when I say pain, this is what I took every day. These are just prescriptions. There are no over-the-counters here. And this is all prescription. And some inhalers, because I was having trouble breathing. Since August 8th, there's not a pain. I've not taken any of this. Not an inhaler. We high-fived. Pastor and I high-fived when I came back. I haven't high-fived anybody in 10 years because I can't clip my hands. My hands have been so swollen that I can't do this. Couldn't. Guess what? I'm sharing this. My children, I've kind of like talked to them, but you know, your kids are very protective because they want me here forever, which I plan on being. But the only thing I'm doing right now with my kids is walking this out, which they're noticing that, you know, before everything was swollen and big but there's no pain. I mean, I took a flight of stairs the other day. I haven't been able to walk upstairs in 6 years. Six. So I was trying to tell Pastor, like, how does this work? Because I was said to him and Rob were talking one day, okay, how do you get it from in here? I need it out here. How do you get it out here? And we've been saying that. Nobody tells you this. How do I get it what's in here into my natural? Because that's where I need it. Believing that he loves you. It has nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with me. He loves me. I'm his favorite purple-haired girl right now. And when I share that with Pastor, it was like coming back and saying, how do you explain this to people? I know he loves me. And I know that this is when I say 24/7, I mean, I was taking like 3,000 milligrams of pain meds just to get through my day. Nothing. I can't even tie up and jump. Okay, I guess it's, and the whole thing being here is that I've got a lot to do. In June, I started this confession in June to my doctors. I'm tired of this. Just so y'all know, I'm tired of coming here. I'm pretty much done with you people. And my lady goes, yeah, okay. My scleroderma people are like, and I'm pretty much done. So, and basically, I would not tell anybody to give up your meds unless you know that Jesus is telling you to do this. But I sat there and just talked to him, and I just said, if you're doing this, you're doing it. I'm not taking this stuff. I don't want to take this stuff. The other day, I said to Christine, I had this thing happening with my eye, and it was almost like getting ready for probably something to explode there. I went out into this place where we sit and pray, and I was talking to the Lord about this. This is what I thought. And the Lord said, why are you telling me? Why don't you tell the enemy about me? Don't tell me what's hurt. Tell the enemy. I'll tell you, my mouth started running like Satan. Guess what? You know, and the Lord had reminded me, don't think he's not going to come. You know, I mean, I walked out of there feeling much better. There was a time when Pastor would pray for me. I would wish he hadn't because I'd get flare-ups every time, and I'd have to make a stand. No, this is what my man of God said. This is what he's prayed over me. And the Lord said, don't think he's not going to come. And he's come hard this month. But you know what? My God is bigger. And then I'm in the bathroom the other day, and I'm talking to the Lord about something, and I go to put these glasses on, and I got a crack. I said, oh, I got to go get some glasses. And the Lord said, Christine was laughing. The Lord said, well, why is your eyesight any different than scleroderma? It's not. So watch. She's going to come off pretty soon because I'm on this now. I'm not taking, I'm I'm taking my steps. I guess I really would just like to encourage you, you know, even if you stood for a long time for something, you just don't know how much he loves you in an area. That's it.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I want you to hear one other testimony. That's of my wife. Both of these are incurable.
Some of you have already heard my testimony. As soon as I had stepped out in music ministry and I was singing in the choir, I got this strange little cough, and it was a tickle, and it wouldn't go away. And it started getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, you were going to the doctor, which I went, and he goes, "Oh, it's bronchitis." And I was like, "Oh, okay. That's easy enough." So 10 days of antibiotics, and it almost worked. So I called back. I was asking them, I was like, "I'm almost, just, you know, can you call me in another?" And they're like, "Well, hey, well, we will, but first come in and get an x-ray." And so I was like, okay. So I went in, got a chest x-ray. They found a spot. And so they were like, "We're going to refer you to the oncologist. It's a pulmonary oncologist." So we get over there. I wound up going to a pulmonary oncologist. And they started running test after test after test after test. And so finally I get one of these back, and they were like, "Okay, so we got good news for you." And I was like, "Okay, I'm ready." And they were like, "So it's not cancer." He goes, "What this is," he goes, "it's just one of your lymph nodes that's just swollen." He goes, "We need you to come on in the office." And this is after weeks and weeks of every test imaginable. Called me into his office, which I think that's the very first time I'd ever been called into the doctor's office. So they began to tell me that I had adult onset asthma. And I was like, "Oh, well." And he goes, no. "It's incurable what you have. We will do our very best to manage your symptoms." He goes, "But we also need you to know that what you have, you will have acute attacks, meaning I would have the possibility of death." And that was always looming at any moment of the day. So half of my, I had like 3 or 4 inhalers. I had 3 or 4 bottles of pills that I had to take. And so even not knowing anything, you know, this is like 1992, still fairly new believer. I knew that God could heal, didn't know that he would. Found out about this little book by Charles Capps, God's Creative Power for Healing. So I got in here. It built my faith to the point where I was like, okay, so I just have to confess these scriptures. I can do that. I do it 3 times a day. That's what he said. And so as I begin, it was a couple of months, this word started to sink down into me. And I started kind of believing it. And I was like, okay. When I was telling somebody this morning, I was like, "Look, y'all, I just accidentally got healed. I just slipped into it only because I was confessing God's word, and it wound up renewing my mind, dropping down into the inside of me where I really believed it. I believed it. I remember the moment that it happened. It's like a light or something just went off on the inside of me, and it's like, I'm healed. I'm healed." And I know from that moment on, I have no dates. I just remember it was a really long time afterwards. I was still walking, saying this, speaking the word over myself and declaring myself healed. And all of a sudden, I think I was cooking or something, and I ran to the bathroom, realized I did not take my medicine. As I'm reaching, I realized I had not been taking my medicine for a long time. I'm like counting pills. It had been almost 3 months. So I'm like counting all these pills. I'm looking at the date on the bottle. I'm calling Wade. I'm like, "Oh my God." And he's like, "Just relax. You're healed." And I was like, so, and that's why I say I accidentally got healed. I just accidentally got healed. In first service, you know, my dad attends first service. He was with me one time. And so I wanted to, just to kind of back up what you were saying, and that is, you know, the enemy, he likes to just kind of check the fences and just just wants to see if he can kind of sneak in. Well, one day, and this is a significant amount of time, I think it was maybe 2000, 2001, my dad and I are walking through a grocery store, and we happened to go past the deli, and they were cleaning the floors. And so there was a chemical that they were using on the floor. We made our trek back through. Well, on our way, all the way through the store, back up to the line, I start feeling a tickle. It progressed quickly to a cough. We're standing in the line, and I'm like, Daddy, do you have a cough drop? I don't know what's going on. It had been so long. And before I knew it, my throat was closing up, and I was in a full-blown acute attack. And the last thing that came out of my mouth was coffee, because coffee will open up your throat just long enough for you to be able to get past an attack. So the girl at the checkout, she was like, oh, I think it's like aisle 4. And I was like, and there was a little boy that was bagging our groceries. He grabbed me and yanked me over to where they had the complimentary coffee. And he poured that to me, and he was like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, just drink this. He knew his mom had the exact same thing. And so my first breath that I took while I'm waiting for that coffee to, and try not to panic, you know, it's like, but my first words were, devil, you're a liar. You are a liar. You will not shut me up. You will not make me stop singing. Jesus Culture has a brand new album out, and the first song on it, I'm never going to stop singing. I just want you to know that no matter where you are, you can start anywhere and just start choosing to believe that God loves you and wants you healthy, whole, complete. He wants you successful in every area of your life. He doesn't want us to be defeated in anything. And just to know that we've got a lot that we need to do around this place. Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you need healing in your body, come. Yeah, come. Come. You might say, well, I've been prayed for 10 times. Come. Stop that. Don't let the devil keep you in your seat. That's just pride. It's just pride. If you need healing, come. Steve, you want to testify?
So I got diagnosed with arthritis in my foot a while back, a few months back. You know, it was out of the blue. Just all of a sudden I was, you know, I'd be running or walking a lot or whatever. And all of a sudden my foot the next morning would feel like it was broken. Like it was just unbearably painful to walk. And I called Josh several times talking about it with him. And I was like, man, I don't understand. And I was like, you know, I've been healed before. You know, I had a problem with my knee, and I was ministered to and prayed for before, and I put my faith in that you know, they laid hands on the sick, and that's why I was healed, and at that moment I was healed, and that's what it was that had happened. And so this whole time I kept trying, and I cried, and I asked, and I was like, why is my faith not working? Why am I not being healed in my foot right now? I was like, this has happened to me before, so I know that this is possible. And I just couldn't receive, I just couldn't understand, I couldn't fathom it. And what Karen said today, just, you know, that it's not about what anyone else is doing or about anything else, but it's about me believing that he loves me enough and that he believes me enough to heal me. You know, it was enough. And I knew that today, when coming here, that I was going to get healed.
Yes.
I felt it. And I came here with the expectation to be healed. And so I came up and took that step in the moment. Pastor Wade and Josh started praying and laid hands on me. I felt it. I knew it. And it was just this warmth that was rushing through my foot, and I understand it, but it's different. It's different, and it's healed. And, you know, I'm just glad that I'm part of a church with a family like this that helps me and helps us through these times when, you know, we don't understand, and brings us to Jesus and shows us the way to do this. And thank you guys for loving us enough to do that.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And actually, that the enemy has used that to bump him off the drums one Sunday. And I was like, man, no more. None of that stuff. We got to have that. So that's his kick legs.
That's
right. Got to have the
same thing like Steve was saying. Like, I feel like a lot of times it's ourselves stopping us. And we're... Don't matter what you have in your head, you gotta believe in faith, and he always has you no matter what. And it's, you have to realize that and just walk in it. It's not gonna be perfect every day, it's not gonna be, but when they're praying for me, he said, I got you, just be quiet yourself, just, you know, I got you, that's all you have to know. I just felt, actually felt it. You just gotta believe it and keep on walking. There's gonna be tough times, but you just gotta keep on pushing through. And I believe at the end of the day, he's like, say, God's every one of us. He has us, that's how he has it, my, I got you. But he has every one of us. No matter what, I really felt that presence, and I just want to thank you.
William, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank Jesus. Okay. Okay. Yeah, come
on. I wanted to bring my daughter up here. She's fine. Nothing's wrong with her. In Jesus' name. But I wanted you guys to physically see. We tried for 2 years to have kids, and to no avail. And we did everything we know to do. We hung in there for 2 years, and one day the McRae's were here 3 years ago, and Pastor Linda, she didn't know anything about this. She prayed for Miriam. 9 months later, completely perfect little girl. I can see it. She's here. She exists. So, like everybody else has been saying, you can't give up. That fight of faith is, you got to get that horse of faith to outpull that horse of unbelief, because they're both pulling against each other.
That's right.
And if you disconnect that horse of faith, the unbelief will take off in the other direction. Do not give up.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Plus, she looks exactly like Miriam. So. Praise you, Lord. Sorry to ruin the moment. That's kind of our jab. You know, gosh, he looks like Miriam. But what a powerful time. And you know what? I want to see healing happen consistent. Remember this. Jesus did not pray for the Father to heal people. He healed them. He brought the anointing that was on him and the power to minister to the affliction to the individual. That's how he did it. It's like he said, say to the mountain, be removed. He didn't say, pray to God to move the mountain. You move it. And you move it with your faith and your words. And that's how we do it. And I don't want to see just one or two getting healed here and there. I don't want to see sickness at all. You know, when it pops up, hey, we'll deal with it. You know what I mean? Praise God. And it's not even a challenge. We ought to be perplexed and amazed when somebody doesn't get healed. Like, what? You know, that should be our response. This should be every time. Because Jesus paid a supreme price. Praise you, Lord. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They will recover.